The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to a weekend bonus episode of the Tech Meme Ride Home. I'm Brian McCullough. Satish Jayachandran is the head of hardware at Waymo. Before that, he led the self-driving team at Tesla, so he was in charge of autopilot. And his job change from Tesla to Waymo made headlines at the time. Today, Satish gives us a history lesson on Waymo, tells us what the future holds for self-driving tech generally, and most importantly for me, answers a question I've always had. Why go full autonomy? Why go the full bore? If you can give me the ability to let the car drive itself on highways, then why not give that to me now? Why try to solve 100% of the problem if you can already solve 95% of it? Well, it turns out that Waymo learned early on that you can't do autonomy in half measures. You have to do full autonomy or you do nothing. Very interesting conversation. Thank you, Satish. Let's start with sort of a history lesson, because I feel like, you know, to the degree that you can be a professor on this, I feel like the history of Waymo is not very well known, and you don't have to go super deep on this, but can you, just in broad strokes, tell me how the project that became Waymo began? It started in the X Lab, right, around 2009?
Yeah, so the project has a roots in the DARPA Grand Challenge days. A lot of our core members did come from there. So it was, the ideation was inspiration from that project on, and it started in 2009, 2010 timeframe, and we have progressed since then. We were part of Google back then. Then we moved on to the Google X umbrella. Then we have graduated since in 2017. To Waymo,
right.
So it's been a progression for a while. So for the first 7, 8, 10 years, we've been part of the Google umbrella. Yeah.
Very early on, the Waymo, now Waymo, but the project you guys started designing its own sensors in house. I think around 2011, and my understanding of that is that it was basically because there wasn't anything on the market that could deliver the capability that was felt was necessary for a car to be fully driverless. Is that right?
That's very true. Yeah, we started the development back in-house in 2011. Before that, we did look at the market pretty widely and see what's available in the market, and we did try a lot of these sensors before deciding to do the work in-house. Pretty much the industry was focused on getting the safety features out, like emergency braking kind of features out, and most of the sensors were tuned to it. But we had pivoted to focus on L4 capabilities, and there was a huge gap between what the industry was offering us and what our needs were. Yeah.
That
was the main reason why in fact...
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brian. That was the main reason back in 2011 we brought it in-house, yeah.
Well, so what I was going to say is it was that sort of you guys had greater ambitions than anybody at the time where, again, it's automatic braking and it's maybe advanced cruise control or something. But it's basically maybe at the time the team was thinking more ambitious than anybody else in the market was.
Yeah, our goals were much more wider. We really wanted to make the roads really safe. And it was, yes, you're absolutely right. We are a much more ambitious project than where the industry was. Yeah.
I believe that Waymo basically designs the entire sensor suite, like the hardware, the software, the computing, like the full stack. It's all in-house to this day. Is that true?
That's true, yeah.
And is that because your technology is better or no one's caught up, or like, again, like if it's, you know, back in the day, they couldn't take anything off the shelf. Is it because no one's been able to basically provide you sort of those off the shelf tools that would be useful?
Yeah, I think over the course of the years, we've driven close to 10 million miles, and over these miles, we've learned a lot of requirements and experienced a lot of user scenarios that has kept on fueling our improvements on the sensors and compute and so on. And that has primarily fueled our iterations over the years. And the second phase is like the industry has, like I said, nobody has driven as many miles as we've done. The industry doesn't have the full know-how of what is really needed to do these kind of work, and there's still some areas of gaps between the industry and what we do at Waymo. We are always at the forefront of what is needed going on. So, for example, like our short-range LiDAR, when we put it in the market, and we didn't have a product which was able to look 360 degrees and had a 95-degree vertical field of view that can detect anything next to your tire all the way up. We didn't have it, so we had to go to the drawing board and come up with a sensor like this. And another example is our radar. When the industry is still focusing on highway driving, we added to develop a custom high-sensitive 360-degree radar to work in urban environments when it's challenging, when you go through huge buildings, tunnels, clutter on the road, and all the stuff. So our radars are specifically tuned to work in the urban space. So those are some examples where we have pushed the technology to suit the L4 needs and urban driving.
You've already sort of described it a bit, but again, this is sort of like a deeper dive show where we're talking about, you know, autonomous, vehicles all the time on the show, but, you know, and we're using terms like LiDAR and things like that, but can you describe for me, like, not the secret sauce, but the overall, like, what Waymo's technological package is, like the LiDAR, the vision system, the radar system, like, how do they all tie together?
So, yeah, so our three pillars of our sensing system are the LiDAR, the radars, and the camera. And the LiDARs, I think we have three types of LiDARs in the system today. One is a medium-range radar, a LiDAR, which is 360-degree. And a short-range LiDAR system, which are many of them around the car to give close-in sensing. And we have a long-range LiDAR, which provides very long-range detection at very far distances, where we can see like certain stuff on road much earlier than what a medium-range LiDAR could do. The combination of these three give an unparalleled 360-degree field of view, both close to the car and very far away from the car, so we're able to paint pretty much a picture around the car, which helps our upper-level software to detect certain things very reliably and also provide velocity and range to that object. Yeah. So that's why our LiDAR system is very unique, because we're able to merge all three systems to give a full 360-degree field of view. Similarly, on the radar system, we do have multiple radars on the car, and they are seamlessly able to provide a full 360-degree sensing of the real world. So similarly, cameras have high dynamic range, and their resolving power is much greater than what we've seen in the industry, and they're able to provide the focus in all temperature ranges. So when we combine all our three main pillars, the perception system and the AI on top of our hardware is able to get a full 360-degree view of what's around a car, and it's getting the information from multiple domains. Modality is what, if I can say that, because it's coming from the LiDAR space, it's getting from the RF space and radar, it's getting it from the visual space and the camera. So that uniqueness of fusing the data is like pretty awesome for the upper level software. Yeah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The Election Ride Home is a daily podcast devoted just to the 2020 elections. Every day at 5 p.m., journalist and This American Life contributor Chris Higgins brings you the latest news from the campaign trail. Who's up? Who's down? What issues are getting traction? And what do the polls say? Someone is going to challenge Donald Trump for the White House. And every day in 15 jam-packed minutes, the Election Ride Home helps track who that person might end up being. Search your podcast app and subscribe to the Election Ride Home podcast. How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, anytime, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/ride. So that is that sort of holistic thing is like, it's what makes your system different than what others do. Like, are you just more the whole package, or like what differentiates what Waymo's system does than what other systems are trying to do?
Yeah, there's the technology. Definitely, there's a differentiation in technology. We are in our third generation hardware suite, which is custom developed for L4 systems. So we have a lot of learnings from the previous generation. And the uniqueness to Waymo is like we have hardware engineers and software engineers working together in the same space, and there's no siloing between them. So we're able to get real-time feedback, what's working, what's not working. We also have our own data accumulation and operations where we get a lot of information from what scenarios happen in the world. So this know-how of finding the requirements, what is really needed for L4, and driving the technology through multiple generations of development has kept Waymo ahead of everyone. And we'll keep on going ahead as we drive more miles and we expand and so on. So those are some of the advantages of Waymo. I would say our technology, the people, collaboration between our hardware and software, our experience over the years. Yeah.
I'm going to come back to sort of like your secret sauce in a second, but like my general understanding is that it's sort of like when we come to think of autonomous systems, like you can be 95% of the way there, you can be 98% of the way there. And actually this is what we're going to get into now, this idea of like, you know, safety and things like that. But my understanding is that like, it's sort of like a, you know, a hockey stick sort of graph. Like, so that last 1% or that last 0.1% or 0.01% in terms of like what the systems are capable of, it gets progressively harder and harder. Is that, am I off on that estimation of like what the challenge is, for your system?
We are not different from any other technology curve. As you get closer and closer to the marker or the customer acceptance, it gets challenging and challenging. So we are not different from that aspect. But we have a unique advantage that we have more than 1 billion miles in simulation and 10 million miles in driving. So that adds more information and increases our confidence towards that. Yeah.
Let me, I don't know if you're familiar with this anecdote that I found researching before we spoke that your CEO shared at IAA Frankfurt recently. It's a story about how in 2013, Google ran an experiment where they gave semi-autonomous technology to a handful of employees that had long highway commutes. Do you know this story?
Yes.
So basically, they say this is early on. This is before you become Waymo. They give the technology to the employees and they say, pay attention, keep your eyes on the road at all times. You can take your hands off the wheel, but you got to be alert. So then, finish the story for me. Tell me what happened when that happened.
That was a huge learning experience. We said, hey, if we keep the human in the loop, we still are at a position where they take it. As we progress the technology, until we're 100% sure, we cannot bring the human in the loop.
Because
that
what happened?
A huge learning curve.
What happened was is they were still being watched by cameras, and they didn't follow the rules. Essentially, they were you know, putting on makeup, texting, falling asleep, even. So as you're saying that was a huge lesson to the project.
Yeah. So that's when we pivoted from driver's assist kind of feature to like L4 driving. That's the pivot because human in the loop, people start to build confidence after so many hours or miles in their car. They start to build confidence that they get distracted and they do other stuff. Even though we clearly told them, you need to have your hands on the steering and focus on the road, but it showed us a weakness in the human behavior where different people have different confidence level, but it's easy to get your confidence of humans. Yeah.
Okay, and you described it as a pivot. That's why I was so glad that I found this anecdote, because this is something that, again, as a layperson in this field, like, I'm always like, well, they want to get, you know, driving in Manhattan right, they want to get driving in snowstorms right, but if they can give me now the ability to be on the highway and have like some super cruise control or something, well, why can't they just give that to me now? But what you're saying is that by running that experiment, Waymo, this is before it was Waymo, but the project had to pivot because they knew that humans would naturally trust the technology more than they could. So it was almost like, you can't do level two, you have to go all the way to level four or nothing. Am I being too grandiose in describing it that way?
You're exactly right, yeah. That was our high-level takeaway, yeah.
So that essentially you have to go all the way or nothing, because any half measures will be unsafe and won't work. You have to go all the way or nothing.
Yeah, you put it right away. The scenario in the world is different, right? Different cities, different weather conditions, and people behave differently. So you cannot predict everything. You need to build a system which to handle everything by itself. Or you might risk the human behavior. You cannot say, I'm good at 98% and 2%. You need to always pay attention to get in. You well summarized it.
How's Waymo One doing? And I'm not asking for any like updates or press releases or anything, but are you pleased with the progress of that project?
Yeah, it's been a great beginning for us. It's a good learning experience for Waymo and the team. And the customers also have been very enthusiastic. I mean, we have a crowd where they're so passionate about this technology and making the road safer. We're getting very valuable and very critical feedback. And it's, so far, it's been a very great start.
Is there any new technology coming down the pike that you're excited about, like the future of sensing for self-driving, like beyond things that, again, we've talked about, like LiDAR and radar and the vision systems? Is there something new that might like push things to the next level?
We are seeing trends within the same LiDAR, radar, camera speeds. The technology is slightly deviating from one another, so there are some pros and cons of those. We are in constant evaluation and playing around with these technologies. Also, from Waymo's side, we focus a lot in expanding throughout the world. So we focus a lot on weather conditions, different driving conditions. Like you mentioned, New York. Driving in New York in certain months, weeks, it's challenging. So our focus has been driving the technology towards making our sensors more reliable and useful in those conditions. So that's how been our future kind of stuff. Keep an eye on what the industry is doing and what the emerging technologies are and push forward our expansion here.